This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Working alongside our allies, we will break their will, dry up their recruitment, keep them from crossing our borders, and yes, we will defeat them, and we will defeat them handily.
President says we are going to kill the terrorists. You heard him there, shifting the focus from Afghan nation building. And boy, there's pressure on a few other countries, including Pakistan, as a result. You might disagree with that and think we should just get out of the damn place. But I happen to think, initially I would have thought this, but I happen to think this may be the right strategy. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. And why do I say that? Because we saw what happened in Iraq. Nothing has changed. Our blood, sweat, and tears went into the earth there. And the second we left Iraq, all hell broke loose again. Anyway, so what can we do differently to smother the fire that is horrific terrorist hornet's nest that are constantly developing there? Even an interview I saw today with a former special forces officer said, listen, the bottom line is this. If we do withdraw from Afghanistan, guess what? ISIS is just going to flat out move in. And I know, because I serve multiple tours of duty in Afghanistan. This was a retired Army Special Forces military man who talked about the president's Afghan strategy. Trump approved sending in more than 4,000 more soldiers to that country and also wants to push Pakistan to do more to help bring the Taliban to the negotiating table. All the military folks, for the most part, love this idea, thinking it's the right way to go instead of backing out. That after all of the heroes that we've left behind in Afghanistan, how can we allow the same thing to happen that we saw happen in Iraq? You know, it's been 16 years. 16 years. The president says we also need an honorable outcome. We need an honorable outcome. So you can imagine there's lots of reaction to this on what was an eclipse kind of Monday. Together we will assist the Afghan security forces to destroy the terrorist hub, Defense Secretary James Mad Dog Mattis had to say. There is no substitute for American leadership. That's the House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy. I applaud the Trump administration for refocusing our military efforts and supporting our brave warfighters by laying out a strategy that's going to help produce a more secure, stable, and sovereign Afghanistan. The president was speaking from Fort Myer in Arlington, Virginia. During the address, he asked India and Pakistan to help bring the Taliban to the negotiating table. Trump also said that he would hold Pakistan accountable for attacks in its country and for any continued support of the Taliban. Even Senator John McCain got in on the love fest, the Republican from Arizona. He said, I commend President Trump for taking a big step in the right direction with the new strategy. The unfortunate truth is that the strategy is long overdue, and in the interim, the Taliban has made dangerous inroads. Nevertheless, I believe the president is now moving us well beyond the prior administration's failed strategy of merely postponing defeat. Not everybody liked the idea. Certainly, some Democrats had a few thoughts, like Senator Sherrod Brown, Democrat from Ohio, said our military men and women and their families have given so much already. Tonight, President Trump is asking even more of them without a plan to transfer power to the Afghan government or a plan to leave the country. Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky said the mission in Afghanistan has lost its purpose, and I think it's a terrible idea to send any more troops into that war. John Kasich, the Ohio governor, said the United States should continue to support the Afghan government through our strategic partnership agreement by providing training and funds that will help the Afghans maintain control of major population centers and prevent a Taliban victory. He went on to say the time has come, however, for us to forge an agreement with all the regional players that will allow the United States to draw down forces and bring our troops back home without reigniting civil war in that country. So will it reignite civil war in the country by doing what is being done? Is this a dangerous direction to go in, or is this the right direction? The game has changed. Even Senator Lindsey Graham realizes that and said those words. The game has changed with Pakistan. The gloves are off in Afghanistan. I'm very pleased with this plan, and I'm proud of our president. I assure you a lot of people in Congress will be behind the prez. And so it sounds like there are some definite supporters for this plan. There are detractors, to say the least. Some of them are some of you out there. Hardcore conservatives who think it's a bunch of hogwash and wasted blood, sweat, and tears. I agree with the decision to do it because pulling out does really nothing in the long run, at this point. And if there was a way to make another slam at it, I say try it. Now, the idea of just letting it go on and on, unchecked, no accountability for a timetable, I would say no way. So cautiously optimistic that this is the right play. Cautiously. In the meantime, I would be remiss not to throw this up, but the solar eclipse. While the big event of the Donald, the president, talking about Afghanistan was happening in Washington, D.C., the big hype, all the planning, it happened. Telescopes, cameras, protective glasses, anything, you name it, from Oregon to South Carolina, just to watch the moon blot out the sun midday on Monday, is what a lot of eclipse watchers did. Millions peered at the sun. Millions wanted to see it happen. It's being said that this might be the most observed and photographed eclipse in history. Well, that makes sense when you think of the amount of people that have changed. And they're talking about trying to quantify it. Maybe 100 million people would see the eclipse. Pretty cool. The Oregon coast was phenomenal. Phenomenal. It's checked off the boxes. Even the first family got a glimpse at the solar eclipse. There was a great tweet. I saw it a couple of places. The picture was tweeted out where they all looked up and had glasses. Initially, there were some moments where they didn't have glasses, and you could hear an aide saying that you need to have the glasses. But then there was one with all of them with the glasses on. Astronomers consider a full solar eclipse, did you know this, the grandest of cosmic spectacles. When we come back, we're hitting the mailbag here on America Tonight.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm
recommend everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Lifetime Graze 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
If food became scarce, would you be able to feed yourself and your family? Have you found some emergency food supplies can cost upwards of $300 for a month's supply? And worst of all, they're packed with chemicals and other unpronounceable ingredients. At 30dayfood.com, our mission is to provide you with food that's not only healthy and natural, but also affordable. At 30dayfood.com, for only $127, you can order meals that are naturally high in fiber, carbs, and protein, packaged in Mylar bags with oxygen absorbers for a superior shelf life. For a limited time only, your order ships free, but that's not all. Enter promo code PREP10 to receive 10% off your entire order. Call 800-700-2184 today. 30dayfood.com keeps prices low by buying directly from suppliers in the Pacific Northwest, then passing the savings along to you. Go to 30dayfood.com or call 800-700-2184 for the most cost-effective and healthy food storage solution. That's 30dayfood.com at 800-700-2184.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Traveling to see the total solar eclipse. A lot of you sent me some pretty cool pictures today and talked about the eclipse. Some of you also gave a thumbs up or a thumbs down to the prez in Afghanistan. There's no doubt that the buzz in your backyard and mine was about this war and the situation in Afghanistan, or it was about the eclipse and whether or not you saw it and what you thought of it, and then a couple of other odds and ends. So on that note, let's check the mailbag.
Mail time. Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail's here.
This one is from Katya. She says, Kate, I can relate to anybody in South Carolina because that's where I live. I listen to America Tonight, and I'm proud to say that I saw the total solar eclipse, and it was worth it. Hanging out, waiting, very, very cool to see the path of totality, something that was wild when it came across the skies and suddenly went dark. I loved it. It was worth it. I took the day off from work. Got someone else in South Carolina. This one was from Ron, and he said, Kate, my family lives in South Carolina. I live in California. I made the trek back home so that I could see the total eclipse, and it was worth it. It was worth it to see my family. We all got together. We all watched it together. and a lot of other people watched it in the neighborhood as well. So it turned out to be an eclipse party. It was one of the best moments of my life. Sounds so silly, but I guess because of the excitement, the conversation, and to get away from all the sadness of what we're seeing in America tearing us apart, it really offered something completely different. Mother Nature often gets in the way, but not on this day. Yeah, so how about that? You know, people traveled all over the place. They flew into Portland, then they drove to, as I said earlier, Salem, Oregon was one of the places. Eugene was another places, was another one of those places people went. People made all kinds of plans for this. There was some couples that got married in the middle of the solar eclipse, which I think that's pretty interesting, I have to say. But good for all these people that scrambled, including my family. I've already mentioned my nephew, who was visiting in Texas a couple of weeks ago. Back in Tampa, they went to South Carolina and took all kinds of really cool video and pictures. And then there was this Oasis of the Seas, this Royal Caribbean Oasis of the Seas solar eclipse cruise, and the ship sailed to a spot a few hundred miles off the east coast of Florida in the Caribbean for it, and people decided to celebrate and decided to do it. And what was really cool is they had an onboard concert with Bonnie Tyler singing the song Total Eclipse of the Heart, which became the anthem for this whole eclipse thing. And so as that whole thing was happening and she was singing, I mean, can you imagine what that was like? They describe it as darkness was coming. They could feel it. They knew the change was coming. Then the final light was masked by the moon. The silence turned to cheering. And people felt like they had this connection, supposedly. Very, very interesting. Then I got this one from Ron, who says, Kate, I was watching in Texas, and of course we didn't see solar eclipse totality, but saw it partially, and I have to say, it was still very, very neat to see. I was with my granddaughter, and she loved it, and it was really, really worth it. I guess the anticipation kind of lived up to it, even if it wasn't the total eclipse, we knew it wasn't going to be. So what we got was still pretty darn fascinating, I have to say. There you go. So part of it was the excitement, the hype. Sometimes people traveling to it, I guess. Sometimes people just looking out wherever they were and saying that was good. All right, let's move on to Afghanistan. A ton of you reacted to that. Bob says, Kate, the president has lost his mind. I'm not a Trump basher, but I don't know who was whispering in his ear. All those generals must have drank the Kool-Aid. I think this is the dumbest thing ever. We have already wasted too many resources, including human capital. We are not going to win anything in Afghanistan. We are not going to walk away satisfied by what's happened in Pakistan or anywhere else over there. And we have been paying Pakistan billions and billions of dollars. It needs to stop. I will agree with the president, but Afghanistan is unwinnable. On the other side of this, I got this from Joseph in Illinois, who says, Kate, I listened to the show either live or through TuneIn. Make sure you tell your listeners they can always download your show that way. And sometimes that's what I end up doing. I think the president is 100% right. I am shocked at my own words, but we cannot continue to just do the same thing that we did in Iraq because we've already wasted enough money there, and if we might as well waste some more and try to make something different happen because the outcome was ferocious in Iraq. It was such a waste. It was so heartbreaking, and there were things that could have happened there that could have changed the narrative. And maybe, who knows, change the narrative in Afghanistan. We do not want to see the same thing happen. It would be disastrous. Well, I agree with that. We don't want to see the same thing happen. That's why some people are saying Afghanistan is a disaster waiting to happen, because if we pour all the money, more, even more money and more people into it, it's not going to change anything. I am kind of shocked that I agree too, because I would have been one of those people. If you re-racked the tape, I would have said, okay, this is quicksand. I say it all the time about the Middle East. We just need to get out of there. Forget it. But it does now. I mean, it certainly affects all of us because of the camps and the hatred and the coming into the United States, finding ways to make it happen, then going after our citizens, etc., eventually in some cockamamie way. I don't see how we walk away from this and feel good about it. I don't think we feel good if we don't do something a little bit more. But the one thing that the president did say, and I think this is vital, is keeping our eye on it. So basically saying there's not going to be a never-ending timeline on it. It's already been a long time. So he says, I share the American people's frustrations when he's talking about the length of this. He's the third president in 16 years to have a stake in the Afghan war. And he even said, my initial instinct was to pull out. Historically, I follow my instincts, but all my life I heard decisions are made much different when you sit behind the desk in the Oval Office. And he says, and I agree with this, the consequences of a rapid exit are predictable and unacceptable. And that we're going to fight to win. From now on, victory will have a clear definition. Attack the enemies, obliterate ISIS, crush Al-Qaeda, prevent the Taliban from taking over Afghanistan, stop mass terror attacks against America before they emerge. Clearly, this is the strategy. It is a strategy, and this is what it is. Not backing down. Continuing to push forward. But not a blank check, and that's the key thing. Watching what's happening and not letting it turn into that, because it could happen so easy. And that's part of it. That's the scary part of it. A lot of you reacting to the eclipse, reacting to Afghanistan. And then there were a couple others. And I'll just kind of wrap this up with Cindy, John, Timothy, all asking about the jackpot. Yeah, the Powerball jackpot, which is up to some crazy amount, $650 million. What would you do with $650 million? Oh, I can think of a lot of ways to spend that for some good causes. Forbes Books at Bedtime next here on America Tonight.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential. Reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
There's a guy named Dr. Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and a naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why is this country spending more money on healthcare, by far, and ranking 50th in health and longevity worldwide? Doc believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, taking charge of their life, and attaining optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic pharmaceutical drugs that lead to side effects that require more expensive and toxic pharmaceutical drugs. Talk about being dependent on drug companies to our own destruction, no less. This is clearly a deadly recipe. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the government and big pharma manipulation of our health and healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare, and I've joined forces with him to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit BrightSideBen.com and listen to Doc Wallach's deadly recipe lectures. It makes a lot of sense, and I invite you to join our Brightside Ben team. Go to BrightSideBen.com. That's www.BrightSideBen.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves. Home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Ben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
So we have Kevin Armstrong, who is a author, speaker, business advisor, and disruptor. I love that.
Disruptor.
That's my favorite title of all. This is funny. It's great. And it's interesting because he's got a book out called The Miracle Manager, Why True Leaders Rarely Make Great Managers. Nice. What do you think of that? I think that's kind of true.
Kevin, thanks for joining us. And I think you're a radical or a disruptor by saying true leaders rarely make great managers. What's the backstory on this?
Well, the backstory, I guess, I work with a lot of groups of entrepreneurial owners. I work exclusively with business owners. And in 2005, I came into a meeting, and it had just been announced that Wayne Gretzky had been made the coach of the Phoenix Coyotes. And I just had a feeling, and I said, you know, it's not going to work. And
are you a hockey fan, by the way?
To some extent, I'm a hockey fan, yeah. I mean, I'm a sports fan.
Okay.
I find it intriguing.
Kate, are you interested in sports at all?
Yeah, I do a show on NBC Sports Radio on the network, so we've had that in common. So this is good, right up at the top here.
So Wayne Gretzky goes from being a leader on the ice to a leader, or I guess a manager in the business office. You think it's not going to work. Why not?
Because, you know, in business, which is a performance activity, you know, we all keep witnessing where we take
people who are really good at what they do. And, you know, they're leaders in what they do. And then we decide to make them managers. And when you sit back and, you know, you ask yourself, what's the definition of a leader and a manager? The definition of a leader is really confusing because the best authors who write about it, the best schools, business schools, including Harvard, that teach it, and everybody else that talks about it in terms of teaching this concept of leadership, and people that quote it all the time, they're confused. And it confuses us in terms of what a leader is. To me, a leader is somebody who stands up, looks to the future, and does the right thing. Right? They're really good at what they do. You know, one of the things that kills me is we confuse young people with this concept of what leadership is. Mm-hmm. I talked to high school kids. I just talked to a group last week, and they get it really, you know, they don't have any problem with that, right? They get it right away.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Kevin. So first of all, I want to ask to make sure I understand what you're saying. What you're really saying is if we look at the definition of the word leader and the definition of manager,
right,
they should be two different things as part of what you're saying, right?
Right. And so a leader stands up, looks to the future, and does the right thing, and a manager gets things done efficiently and effectively through others.
Well, and so where I was going with that is, you know, it's easy to focus on the manager part of this. In fact, you have this great quote, everybody has had a bad manager. Many of us have never had a great manager. We're going to get to that quote because I think that's really important. But I think it's also important to think about the terrible thing we do to leaders by forcing them into the management role. I would imagine that what we're basically doing is breaking their legs of leadership.
That's pretty much it, right? It's like sending a duck to eagle school.
So that's the question. So what truly is the definition of a leader? And you said it, they look to the future. But beyond that, isn't it about assembling the right people, the right team?
No.
No, not at all.
I mean, you know, when you look to go do a Google search on the top leaders of all time, right, and you'll get people like Martin Luther King and my favorite's Rosa Parks, right, because here's a domestic worker that's humble. She wasn't trying to influence anybody. She just got on a bus. And she sat in the last row of the white people's section at the front of the bus. I'm ashamed to say this was in my lifetime. And what happened was, apparently there was seats in front of her that were empty, but, you know, a white couple walked up to her and said, you know, you're in our seat. To which she responded, I'm not getting up. And there's lots of seats here for you, right? And the bus driver stopped the bus and said, Rosa, you're going to get arrested if you don't get out of that seat. And she said, no. You know, and so, you know, I ask people all the time, is that leadership? And my favorite question now for people is, you know, when you look at Martin Luther King or Gandhi, right, or Rosa Parks, or these types of, or Mandela, right, were they leaders before they went into jail or were they leaders when they came out?
That's a great question. What kind of answers do you get?
Well, I was golfing with a Marine on Saturday, right? And he said, well, I think the prison sentence tempered them. So that, you know, so they were leaders when they came out. But that was the first time I ever heard that answer, right? I mean, the fact of the matter is it was Rosa Parks' behavior of saying enough is enough, and I don't even care if I'm breaking a law. And actually, this Marine said on Saturday, well, that was a bad law. And I said, it wasn't a bad law then. Right. In retrospect, it's an embarrassing law. Right. But the fact is that leaders look to the future and they go, I'm going to do the right thing here. And, you know, when you ask people, do you think that the black people at the back of the bus were going, all right, Rosa, you know, give it to the man. Right.
They were terrified.
They were terrified. They were saying, Rosa, get your butt back here. Right. Like, that's what they were saying. And so, you know, Rosa didn't know that she was going to lose her job the next day. She didn't know that her husband wasn't going to talk to her for 6 months. And this is what great leaders do. But that big question is, were they a leader before they went into jail, or were they a leader when they came out? And if they never came out of jail, how many people did they influence? Like, we hear all this stuff about leadership in terms of influencing people, right? And that's not a good coach influences people. A good coach or a good manager, you know, they motivate people. But leaders, they don't care who's beside them or behind them. It just turns out we start following them because we go, hey, we trust this person. Simon Sinek says it, right? We trust this person because, you know, they're consistent.
So you actually write and speak about something called a mana coach. And we're talking with Kevin Armstrong. He's an author, speaker, business advisor, and disruptor. And you can hear the disruption in everything he's saying. His book is The Miracle Manager, Why True Leaders Rarely Make Great Managers, which is pretty darn disruptive. So what is this thing that you write and speak about called a mana coach?
A mana coach is a great manager, right? And it's not manager and leader that's synonymous or meaning the same thing, right? It's manager and coach or director. When you ask people, you know, give me the characteristics of, think of somebody who is a great coach for you on a team or a great manager at work or a great director if you're in a play or in a symphony orchestra, right? You know, tell me what their characteristics are because those are synonymous. And, you know, you get things like, well, they got people. They really get people, right? They're empathetic. They're perceptive. They have a deep sense of energy towards others. They get themselves, right? You have to have self-awareness to understand how you're affecting others. You have to have the courage to converse, you know, to talk about the tough issues with people because there's this line between you and the people you coach, and they have to know that if they're not performing, they won't be there, or if they're not, you know, acting appropriately, they won't be there.
So,
you have the ability to be real.
Are you a mana coach?
I am not, because one of the characteristics of a great manager or coach is to be organized. And you look at all the great coaches of the time, they're always going over their notes, they're always going over their stuff, and they have their thoughts organized, right? And another reason is because my ego, you know, a good coach, a good manager, when you think of that person, always put you first. They always put their teammates in front of them. Their ego is off to the side. I have a huge ego and I put me first, right? So those are, not good characteristics for a person who wants to manage others. In fact, I know I'm a very flawed individual, right? And anytime somebody says they've seen a good therapist, I go see that therapist and say, hey, do your thing, right? Figure me out.
Fix me.
And a few years ago, I had this coach, a business coach, and I was managing, you know, six or seven people in an organization where we had about 100 business owners that we were looking after. And he said, you really don't like managing people. And I said, you know what? I think you're right. I don't. He goes, you like being at the front of the room. You like being in charge, right? And you know, after that discussion, that was another thing that just firmed up the fact that I'm not a good manager. I'm not a mana coach.
Yeah, Kevin, I wanted to make sure we get the website in because we're running short on time. TheMiracleManager.com. And having said that you're not good at this, do you think, and you seeking out help, because you say someone says they have a good therapist, you go to them. Do you think everybody needs a mentor, a coach, a whatever?
Oh, I think the answer, you know, is certainly. I mean, you know, if you look at anybody or anybody that's achieved anything, they always had a mentor. Right, they always had somebody guiding them,
or a mana coach,
right? Somebody could, if you take a golf lesson and that golf teacher is demonstrating half the lesson, and then when you grab the club, he's got you thinking about 9 or 10 different things, and your knees are shaking. You've got the wrong person, right?
Right.
The good coach just sits back and looks at you and says, "Here, try this one thing. Loosen your hands, because everything has to be loose if your hands are loose, you know." And then things get better. Then you've got the right person.
Yeah. Hey, we're wrapping up, so we've got to find this book. Where can we get a copy of your book?
It's on Amazon. That's probably the best place to look for it. But it's in Borders, and if you do a search on it, Kevin G. Armstrong. And then the Forbes blogs. I'm a Forbes author, so if you go to Forbes, Kevin G. Armstrong, you'll see a couple of blogs written on it, and you can find it there.
And don't be shy about sending an anonymous copy to your manager.
Exactly. Or really, if you want to become it, you know, that's a great point. But, you know, if you really are passionate about coaching people or managing people, I think it's a good read.
Kevin Armstrong, thanks so much for joining us on Forbes Books at Bedtime.
TheMiracleManager.com.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Katie.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Tyler, time to go for our family walk.
Just let me nap a little longer.
You promised we'd get more active.
I know. How come you're so ready to go?
It's Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where'd you get them?
I ordered them from Superberries.com/radio, and right now we can get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus, we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait to try them. I'll get the doll.
I'll get the kids.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
With us here on America Tonight, Dr. Mark Swedan. He is the Vice Chair for Neurological Surgery and Director of Pediatric Neurological Surgery at the Weill Cornell Medicine Brain and Spine Center. Dr. Swedan, thanks so much for coming on with us, because what we're talking about sadly has affected two of my friend's children. We're talking about pediatric brain tumors, and you know, one of the things, and you would know the acronym better, but DIPG. First of all, for people listening, tell us about DIPG and the severity of that and what happens to these kids. It's like a serial killer.
Yeah, thanks for the invite, Kate, to begin with. And I'm sorry to hear that friends of yours have been afflicted by this. DIPG, diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma, is one subset of tumors in children that affect the brain, and more precisely what's called the brainstem. The brainstem is the, if you will, the relay center between the brain proper and everything that happens below the neck. It's a very vital area, very tight, compact area, where these tumors that with consistency kill these children with a median survival of just shy of a year.
Wow. And so you just recently presented the results of your phase one clinical trial for the use of a better medication delivery system in these children with what we just talked about, DIPG. So tell us about that.
Now, the clinical trial really is a result of a very ambitious effort to improve the outcome for these children. Mm-hmm. And for decades, and for as long as I've ever known about DIPG or interested in pediatric brain tumors, that the survival curves and expectations were never improved in that 30, 40-year interval. So we embarked on a very adventurous way to be more effective in getting chemotherapeutic agents into the area of interest, namely the brainstem. And it's very well known that when you administer chemotherapy by an oral or intravenous route, that a very, very small fraction of that drug gets into the brain and hence the brain tumor. So the normal routes of administration are extremely ineffectual and inefficient for getting drug concentrations where we want them in the brain of these children. So this design is based on a simplistic idea, and that is directly administer the chemotherapy into the tumor, right? Sounds very logical and simplistic. And why shouldn't we be doing it? Why shouldn't we be doing it? It's because it is a surgical intervention. And you're also embarking on one of the most vital functions or structures of the brain, namely the brain stem. So it's illogical to think that you can place a catheter in the brain stem and infuse volumes of fluid that would be containing the chemotherapeutic agent. So that's what we set out to do. That was the first 15-plus years of my career. And as you mentioned, we reported on our phase one, or what would you call toxicity-seeking, you know, clinical trial at the American Society of Clinical Oncology this past spring. And delightfully, we saw that we could do this in children safely with a very, very good efficiency, that we could get thousand-fold higher concentrations of drug in the area of interest safely without affecting anything in the rest of the body. So the foundation was validated without question.
Wow, that's incredible, because, and to really drive this home, as you said, so much of your life has been spent doing this, and we talk about the brainstem, and again, to put it in perspective for people listening, it's just very difficult to get to that area, isn't it, without doing any other kind of damage.
Yeah, there are tumors and lesions within the brainstem that neurosurgeons consistently will go after and remove very effectively. Benign tumors, well-circumscribed lesions, but those differ in that they are focal. Those differ in that they reach the surface of the brainstem. It affords us a route in, and there's a very clean line of demarcation that we can carefully identify at the time of surgery. These tumors, DIPG, and other infiltrative gliomas, have that word assigned to them, infiltrative, meaning that they entwine themselves within the normal cellular structure of all the pathways and complex nuclei in the brainstem that make it an impossibility to remove these. And even if one can go in and take out the majority of these tumors, we know that the invasive front has escaped surgical treatment and will recur in those margins. So a much different growth pattern than other lesions that we will willfully go after in the brainstem.
We're speaking with Dr. Mark Sway-Dan from Cornell Weill. And so in talking about this, I mean, this has got to be amazing, the amount that you're able to measure here, the amount of kind of like a treasure trove of information that you're finding out. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, what it's done is opened up a huge door of potential. And, you know, whether we have everything right with the phase one study is left unsaid until we start looking more diligently at optimal dose and then challenging ourselves to see if we can do better than historical controls. But at this point in time, the exciting component of this is now we've shown we can do this. So this opens up a huge potential with regard to agents that have been left by the wayside because they cause systemic toxicity. Agents that are very promising in the laboratory, but we know they don't cross what's called the blood-brain barrier. So now there's great potential for introducing either old agents or innovative agents. Now there's the potential of integrating agents that were prohibitive from the standpoint of systemic toxicity. So there's a whole wide spectrum spectrum of agents that can now be either re-explored or introduced into a tumor that has escaped any element of therapeutic benefit from therapy. So that alone is a huge jump forward in this. And then the other really has to do with the quieting of any cynicism that would be applied to this because it's dangerous. Right, so it's logical to think that you're going to put a catheter in the brainstem and infuse all this fluid and you're going to hurt children. And that doesn't make sense for a child that only has 5, 6, 7 months left of life. Why would you do this? But now that we can do this and we've done this very safely to the point that we're sending these kids home the following day, and it's been remarkable from the standpoint of the safety element and the drug delivery element. So great capacity here now to interface with industry, with pharmaceutical companies, with investigators across the globe to try and now optimize this.
Yeah, and optimizing it, one of the things would be, I would assume, right, testing different drugs and combinations?
Yeah, without question. I wish I had 10 lifetimes and 10 more people in my laboratory doing this. You know, every one of it, and it's challenging, right? I mean, to drive a clinical trial like this, which took us 4 years to complete, and I will say, you know, 15 plus years to lay the groundwork for, with a price tag of foundation money, and we've had very generous individuals and foundations rise to the occasion, you know, just shy of $2 million to drive this trial. Now think about the multitude of agents that are out there that we'd love to experiment with. And you can do a lot of work in a laboratory to screen, but every time you embark on bringing this into a clinical front, you're dealing with that degree of effort. So it becomes very problematic. At the same time, one needs to be extremely disciplined in their selection of how to design a trial to make sure you're going to get the most information out of that clinical trial and that investment of time and effort and money.
Yeah, what does that mean for your team when you're talking about the other people involved in this? You all had to be thrilled when you knew that you had some success with this, right?
Yeah, I mean, no more than me, but without question. I can't enough praise assigned to the individuals who have helped with this, and that's industry, institution, and it extends well beyond what I've been doing, and it's really been remarkable. But I will tell you that the shared enthusiasm and the drive comes from the inherent belief that we can do better, that we can cure other cancers in kids of the same age, but because the cancer affects a different organ, we shouldn't be satisfied with that. We should believe in that if we can cure one cancer, there's no reason we can't cure another cancer. But yes, it might involve a different strategy, and it might involve a much different technology. But the drive to do that is because of the belief that, one, we can do it and have done it, and two is to watch the grief and the suffering of these parents is an amazingly powerful motivation to do better. And for anyone who associates, and you mentioned you have friends with children who have been afflicted, if you listen and watch and understand what they go through, there's no greater motivation to do a better job and to improve the outcome for these kids.
Well, congratulations, Doctor, on the work that you're doing there, and to hear your passion is just absolutely phenomenal, wonderful. As you said, 15 years of work, the 4 years to complete, I can only imagine what a giant, giant effort. Dr. Mark Swaydan from Cornell Weill, thank you so much.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, but we're not finished. Until we consistently cure these children, then you can congratulate me, and I'll certainly accept that congratulations. I appreciate the time this morning.
I love it, Doc. Thank you so much.
Thank you as well.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
The antidote to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.